the 37th episode, season 4 of On and Off the Field, episode 157 since the very beginning.
Woo-woo.
That number just keeps going up.
Yeah.
And it gets harder to believe every time. 157 episodes of this absolute garbage.
The what absolute if it went garbage. Down one time?
You think it'll go down?
I don't know.
You might have to delete a couple episodes. At some point, like iTunes, or it's not even iTunes, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, yeah. They're going to be like, bro, we can't have 157 of these things on here, man. You got to ditch some, bro. This ain't working. No one listens to this anyways. Just put like 10 on here. Come on, what are you doing? This garbage podcast that is the award-winning podcast. little 2-in-1 action. On and Off the Field with Durf and Dylan, brought to you by the All Sports All Plays ASAP Network and the PartyCast Network, where the party never ends. If you're in here right now, the absolute best thing you can possibly do is start sharing. Like and share and do all that good jazz, because if you share, that is one of the first steps towards flossing.
Mm-hmm.
Follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share. That's the entire thing. This segment always brought to you by the one and only Stefon Diggs and whoever this guy is from the USFL. Absolute just dental hygienist right here. This dude is a boss, cares about his teeth, and so should you. But this has nothing to do with teeth. Recommended by 10 out of 10 podcasters everywhere. Durf, help these people out. How can they floss?
Alrighty. Well, you can follow on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram all by searching at OOTF Podcast. You can like by hitting that thumbs up, leaving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on Apple Podcasts. You can observe by watching us live every week at this time from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can subscribe by clicking those subscribe buttons on Twitch and YouTube and making sure to ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, make sure you share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing out the stream or any post that you like from our award-winning content.
Award-winning, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it happened, but it did. Was those biddies? Oh, Horny. He says, what's up, Mr. Chiefs fan, Horny Gnome? And he's over here dropping biddies, too. Unicorn biddies, as a matter of fact. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. I constantly forget that this channel's even monetized. That's because I took over this from my other streaming account. That actually got monetized. I just made it our podcasting one instead. So, you know, whatever works, works, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We have so much to talk about tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I highly doubt we'll get through all of it. But
and that's okay.
Two of the main things I want to bring up first is if you do sports betting, 100% the people you should be going with is DraftKings. This is an unsponsored thing. But I might actually like try to reach out to them because, my God, at least recently, I mean, it's been twice a week at minimum for the past, I don't know, 3 weeks, I get an email from them that just says, yeah, if you like bet $5 or make a deposit of like $5 and bet on an NHL game, we'll just give you $100 in free bets. Like constantly, all nice. The time. And I've been playing this game with them. It's like, okay, fine. So I deposit $5. I place a bet and they're like, all right, here's $100 of free bets. And then I turn like the $100 of free bets into like $70-ish of real money. And I just withdraw it. And I wait for the next email. That's what I've been doing. So if you're looking to get into sports betting and you don't want to spend a lot of money but be given free money, DraftKings is probably your way to go.
There you go.
So just so everyone knows. But, you know, if you want to help us out personally, you can sign up for BetUS if you want. You can if you want to. I mean, there's the info for you. For podcast people, just go look for it. It's BetUS. OOTF promo code, get a bunch of free stuff with that as well. My other thing, our TikTok page is back up and running.
Nice.
I've actually started like actually putting content up again. Unfortunately, the content is like eyes and mouth filter. It's not really podcast clips. because those kind of just died. No one cares. It's so depressing. But you know where they do matter? I'll tell you what. YouTube channel likes it.
Yeah.
We've had a couple hundred views, and a couple of them actually went over 2,000 views on our YouTube.
Oh, dang.
As like a short. Like, so YouTube's nice. Kind of popping.
Yeah, so buddy.
If anyone's curious, you can subscribe on YouTube, and all those same videos are there. If you don't have TikTok, that's like everything that goes on TikTok also goes under YouTube. So if you just want to go to YouTube instead, that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. It's so YouTube. I've been liking that. So let's get into some real podcast content. If you want to,
sounds good to me.
That's the wrong button. If you're ready, I'm ready. We got some off. I don't even want to call it off-season news at this point. Some of it's news, and other stuff is just
statements.
Stuff that's going on. Because deadass, there's not a whole lot going on right now. We got one big piece. I feel like this happens all the time in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like Tuesday seems like a big day. Like if there's usually something big that happens, it's always on Tuesday, which like saves us.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, at first you're thinking, man, there's nothing to talk about. It's just like content wasteland. And then Tuesday comes and they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, Tom Brady is going to be joining Fox as a lead analyst once his career is over. They're like, okay, cool. Good for him. We always thought he'd kind of go down that route probably. Maybe for a couple of years, then he might do some coaching. Like, no, this dude went out and signed a 10-year $375 million contract with Fox. To put things into perspective, that's $37.5 million a year to do this. Mm-hmm. Tony Romo and Troy Aikman combined make $36 million a year. And they just got, like, new contracts. Like, they were, like, the people that were making bank before.
Yeah.
Now they're basically got pennies compared to what Tom Brady is getting. And the dude hasn't even gotten behind a mic once yet. Like zero experience. Right. And they're just like, yeah, we want you anyways. Here's $375 million. And then the cherry on top is he's approximately made $330 million throughout his entire NFL career. So he's going to be making more with Fox Sports than he did in his 20 plus year career with the NFL.
Right.
Insanity. I mean, it's just like with all these different numbers, all this entire paragraph, everything I just read just seems insane to me. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, so he's going to be an analyst, but he's never even,
he
never even talked about wanting to be an analyst, right? It's just happening.
Right.
He's making all that money, 10 years worth. So I guess my first question would probably be, does he even last 10 years? Do you honestly think this lasts 10 years?
No.
Do you think he sticks it out? No.
I am curious as to, did he interview for anything? Like, did they run him? I'm curious if they ran him through something, though. Like, do they do that with any other, you know, broadcasting people, like, or analyst people, like, you can't just expect him to just walk into a booth and be good. He could be terrible, and I'm going to laugh hysterically if he is, because Fox put all this money into him, and it fell apart completely.
And like, just confirm, this is like game day in a booth, right? It's not like him with like four other guys at a table talking. Like, he's going to be in a booth.
No, this is like him like talking with one other guy with Kevin Burkhardt.
Is that going to be his guy?
Yeah, because Burkhardt's going to be the top call person. He's like the Joe Buck of. He'll be the new Joe Buck.
That's just offensive.
And then, better, but.
There, okay, all right. Fair enough.
that position.
Okay, yeah, the position of Joe Buck.
And then Brady steps in as the replacement for Troy Aikman. The weird part I don't like about it is that he's going right to a lead analyst. Like,
yeah,
all these guys that have been working for years to get those, you know, America's Game of the Week, get that game, and here comes Tom Brady just trotting through. I played for 20 something years and I got 7 Super Bowl rings. Blah, 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 blah. Like, What?
Pretending like that's not an accomplishment, but. Yeah, like, oh, look at me. I'm the best quarterback that's ever played in the NFL. I'm just going to squeeze in here.
It's a whole different game, though, when you're calling a football game.
I mean, you could say the same thing about Tony Romo, too. I mean, it took him a little while to get in there. I don't think he'd like, obviously, yeah. It took him a while to get into the booth. So maybe he was working on that stuff to get to that point.
Yeah, but what about Greg Olsen?
In that time period in between, Greg Olsen never should have even attempted. Well, I don't know how he got in there in the first place. This is what makes me think that they don't have some kind of vetting process if you're a former NFL player, right. Is because Greg Olsen did it. And then Aqib Talib did it.
Yep.
Like, there's some, I have a feeling like there's when if you're a former player with at least the slightest amount of renown, mm-hmm. You can probably just walk in there and do it. Because, like, I know what you're saying when you say, like, you know, you have to do some testing or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Tom Brady can diagnose a play in a field and talk about whatever he wants. I don't think he's going to have a major issue with, like, sitting up there in a booth and going, oh, yeah, I got to diagnose this real quick. Like, oh, hold on. I don't know what to say yet. I'm still looking at the.
But I don't want, like, him to be like Chris Collinsworth.
Well, no one's going to be that bad.
Well, that's what I'm kind of saying, though. Like, yeah, he can probably analyze what's going on in the field and talk about it, but does it work for TV?
Right. Is he just going to be some, like, nerd?
Right.
He just kind of says things, but it's not entertaining. He's just like, oh, yeah, look at that. This is what happened. And then, like, that's the end.
Right.
Like, the complete opposite of John Madden.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what's going on, but says it in such a dumb and funny way. Like, it was the most entertaining thing in the world, but you still learn the game. Right. Tom Brady's like, yeah, he'll be able to educate us, probably. He'll say things and explain what's happening to us, and it'll be educational. But, like, is he going to have the personality to really make this work?
Right.
Yeah. That remains. I mean, he's been kind of on social media lately. He's been getting a little bit more, like, you know, FaceTime with normal people through social media, which is maybe his attempt at, you know, transitioning into that kind of a role where mm-hmm. you have to be more front-facing with fans now. So I think he's slowly trying to learn that side of things. Because before it was, like, always football. Everything I did was football. Screw the fans. Screw the media. Screw everyone. I'm just trying to win. But now it's just like, okay, now we got to kind of transition here. Playing's not as important right now.
Right. And it's whenever he's done.
Oh,
like, it's not like next year Tom Brady's signed this deal. Like, this is kind of similar road that Drew Brees went down. He signed a deal before he was done playing. Granted, Tom Brady retired, then unretired because he's a selfish, moron. And now, so he says that he's
going to retire. Play more makes him a selfish moron? Wait a minute.
Yes.
Let's explain that. Like
just.
Is it like anybody? Like, anybody retires and comes back and plays, they're a selfish moron? Is that like, or is that just Tom Brady?
No, Brett Favre was too.
What if Drew Brees unretires? Like, what happens when the C comes back mid-season for the Saints?
Selfish moron.
Okay. All right. As long as it's everybody and not just
it Tom is it, no it no. But Tom Brady is the perfect example right now of what's going on. But like he's saying it's when he retires, or Fox and you know jointly social media verse basically said when he retires. But then he goes and says, I have a lot to accomplish still with the Bucks. What more do you need to accomplish with this Buccaneers team? You already won the Super Bowl your first year there.
They got five more to go, right?
Like, get out of town. Go own the Dolphins or something. Go be a general manager somewhere. Like,
that'd be fun.
Like, yeah, just get out of here.
Can you do that, though? Like, can you be an analyst and own a team? Like, what's the limitations on what you can do while you're an analyst? Because that's the thing. Now it goes back to the question I asked you about, will he do this for the full 10 years? Something tells me he's going to get bored.
There's a good possibility he can get bored, yeah.
Because he's not going to be able to coach.
Right. I don't see him coaching, though.
Like, he's not going to be able to do, like, anything during the season. Like, you're committed to that role.
Right.
And I don't know if there's a limitation of what you can do in the league while you're an analyst. Like, can you go on a team and, like, can you do GM stuff? Can you
do other things?
I don't know.
I wouldn't say you could do any GM stuff, but, like, I'm assuming it would be what the verbiage is in the contract. But, like, I don't know. Romo does, like, you know, a lot of commercials, and, you know, he does the golf tournaments. Other than that, I don't know what Tony Romo does offhand. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Tom Brady's not just, he's not going to be just doing analyst work, but he'll, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like this is something that he's, like, sounds like it'll be fun for him for a little while, and then I don't know, being cooped up in a booth watching football, I just feel like unless he really does play for like five more years and he's like just completely wiped out from being able to do football, then maybe he'll be okay. But if he's just sitting up there, and yeah, I just feel like that's like a, you know, like a trigger for an addict, you know,
right?
Like you stop playing football and you go in the booth, but you're still forced to watch football, and like you're at the game and you're watching football. Like, it's going to be a trigger for Tom.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I got to get back down there. He just leaves the booth and runs onto the field. I can't do this anymore. Give me the damn ball.
But that's the thing, too, like, why he's a selfish moron for coming back is that now he's risking his body at an increased rate or more, you know, percentage of a chance that, you know, he could have a serious career-ending injury now. Like, yes, he takes care of his body and stuff, but, like, that age is going to catch him eventually here, the more he keeps playing.
I mean, to be fair, we've said that for, like, 10 years now, but there does come a point.
I think we've seen it more in the last year or so. As good as he played for the Bucks last year, when he retired, it was like, okay, now he can go do other things, you know, we don't have to talk about how he's got all his great achievements. Now he's coming back, and it's like, really? Really want to do that?
What's going on, Parker? How you doing? Welcome to the show, Mr. 1911. He's pretty old. He's like over 100 years old, that guy.
Oh, dang.
Maybe that's not his birth year. This is something that, you know, the news just broke, but we don't have to worry about for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be when he's done playing, and God only knows how long that's going to take.
Or what shape he's in when he's done playing.
He might be up in the booth on crutches.
Or in a wheelchair.
Have to wheel him up there. Just got done dying laughing. Well, I'm glad you're laughing. That must mean you're enjoying the show. Unless someone else told you a joke like in person, and it's not us, then that would make more sense. All right. So this is something that really... Oh God, this is something I've had a problem with for a long time, but this is not the first time that something like this has happened. This is not the first season this has occurred. Mm-hmm. But once again, we have to talk about it.
Yep.
And it goes alongside with reorganizing divisions, mm-hmm. and conferences in general. The Seahawks, once again, will lead the NFL in miles traveled in the 2022 season. They will cover 29,446 miles and hop across 34 time zones over the 17-game slate. Because they do have to, because this, for some godforsaken reason, they're like, hey, the team that already travels the most, how about you go to Germany? Like, I'm pretty sure if you punched a hole through Seattle, the other side of the earth, like that might be Germany. Like you have to travel across the other side of the planet to get to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, you guys, the ones that are already traveling the most miles per season, go do that.
Right.
Holy shit. So yeah. And then you have the Steelers. They won't leave the Eastern time zone this season. 17 games won't even leave the East Coast. And Seattle has to travel 34 time zones.
That's insane.
They're going to go 6,442 miles. And of you know, a big reason for that is because their division, the Steelers division, they're like all like they're right there.
Right.
Even just to play division games for Seattle, they gotta go all the way to the south almost. You know, to get the place.
Oh yeah, like, they gotta go all the way to Phoenix.
Yeah, and Phoenix. Pretty sure that's a whole other time zone, right? They're mountain time, right? Not Pacific. Is Arizona mountain time?
Yeah.
So they have to travel a different time zone just to play a division game. And the Steelers could just get on a bus and play all of theirs.
Well, I think it's a combination of the reimagining the divisions as well as changing up the rotation of which divisions a division will play each year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, the AFC North, I think, plays, they play at least play the AFC East. And if I had to guess, if they're staying.
Yeah, probably the NFC East, not, too. But not the Cowboys.
Well, no. It would have to be.
Maybe the NFC South?
New Orleans would be in Central.
Oh, would they be?
So you'd want to look at Pittsburgh Steelers home and away 2022 opponents.
And then while I look that up, Parker here, my father made a bet with his friend that if the Detroit Lions win the Super Bowl and his friend has to change a dirty diaper my father will be wearing, they should.
Oh.
Jesus. Oh God, that's a brutal one. Oh my Lord. Okay, 2022 opponents for the Steelers. Their home is obviously the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and they get the Raiders at home. And then they get the Patriots at home, and then the Saints. Yep, the Saints at home. So it is the NFC South, but the Saints are coming to them. And then the Jets and the Bucks who are still East Coast. And then their away opponents, Atlanta, the Bills, Panthers, Colts, Dolphins, Eagles. So they're playing a mix of NFC East, NFC South, and AFC West, too, with the Raiders in there.
Well, the NFC East and the AFC West would be based on seeding or what they fell in their divisions. Which in accordance with the Steelers ranking in their division, but they're playing the AFC East and the NFC South. Mm-hmm. And if the
only team that's outside of the Eastern
time zone is the Saints, and they're coming to Pittsburgh. Yeah. And then you have the Raiders coming to Pittsburgh. So that cuts down their mile. That's why it keeps them in the Eastern time zone. Shenanigans.
The shenanigans. Like, at least make them leave the time zone and make them go to New Orleans. Like, flip one of the NFC South opponents where they have to go to them.
So like, that they must go to Tampa and Atlanta? Or Carolina?
Tampa comes to them, they go to Atlanta.
And Carolina. And
Carolina.
Okay.
That's why he was dying laughing, because of the bet. Oh, so it wasn't us. That makes sense. That's
makes sense.
That's just sickening, man. I get that just based off of where Seattle is,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have to travel far to get places. Like, and you have to play opponents at a certain time and like, you know, okay. But it's like every season, the NFL is doubling down on how far Seattle has to travel. Like, they're forcing them to, like, guess what, bitches? You're going to Germany. Like, you already have to. Let's see who they have to play. I have it in here. There are away opponents. Oh, that's the Bills. They have to go to New Orleans. They have to go to Detroit. Yeah. They have to go to Kansas City. They have to go to Tampa. You're already forcing them to go to the East Coast, or at least in, like, eat close to the East Coast. Two, three times, and then the Chiefs, which is like midway, you're making them go already, and then you tell them to go to Germany. Like, what the?
Well, Tampa's in Germany.
Who's come? Oh, that's right. But yeah, okay, I forgot about that. That's a fair point. But still, like, you're making them go to Detroit, New Orleans, and Kansas City, And then your division opponents are already far enough spread out. Are they playing any away games in their own time zone? Besides the Rams and 49ers? They got the Chargers, too.
Oh, yeah.
But four of them are outside of their own time zone. Five of them because of the Cardinals.
Right.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I don't know how they fix it, though.
But they do get nine home games.
Nine home? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's...
That's going to change every year, though.
Well, yeah, next year it'll be for the AFC, it gets nine home games. But, right. I think that's more impressive that they travel almost 30,000 miles in eight games. And three of them are in their division.
Yeah. Well, because you might not be leaving the time zone, but to still get to the Rams and the 49ers, you got to go like all the way to the bottom of California.
Right.
You're going all the way to the south. That's still like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours on a plane to get down there, maybe.
And they're playing the AFC West, too. AFC yeah. West, NFC South.
Yep. I hate it here. I mean, this is every season, I feel like. I don't remember the last time the Seahawks didn't lead the league in travel mileage. So, let's see here. One of our last pieces of actual NFL offseason news here is, now you have to take this with a grain of salt, okay? Yep. Like we have to dial this one back. But Antonio Brown came out and basically exposed Colin Kaepernick for being a fraud. Now it's eight. Now we're talking about Antonio Brown here, okay? So I'm not gonna sit here and be like, yeah, this dude knows what he's talking about. This is the guy who stripped off his pads and ran off a field in the middle of a game. So yep. He said about Colin Kaepernick, he doesn't want to play, man. He was trash, everything. He did all that and took the money and then got a commercial. We don't see him outside. All that's cap. You took the money, the commercials, and we don't see him in the hood. Now, to be fair, like how many NFL players you see just walk around the hood these days? I don't know. I mean, I don't talk to NFL players. I feel right. Like a lot of them aren't just like walking through the hood these days. Like where they, you know, it seemed like a thing to me, but I could be wrong. That every like all these NFL players should go back home and go to the hood and like do good things for their community. That's what we talk about on this show. Mm-hmm. Basically, AB is just saying he doesn't do any of that. He talked about, you know, injustices and like wanting to change the country and doing all these things. And AB is just like, nah, dude did it for money, exposure, commercials, took the money, and now he's living in a mansion somewhere. That's basically what AB is saying. And all this talk about wanting to come back to the league and play and all these workouts, it's basically just for more exposure. That doesn't really seem like he wants to play.
Right.
That's what I gathered from Antonio Brown's statement. Mm-hmm. Again, whether that's true or not, it's Antonio Brown. But I'd love to hear your take on it. I don't know if you just agree with that or, you know, you just think he's crazy. I don't know.
I just think Antonio Brown's crazy, but
well, I think it goes without saying, actually.
I see his point, though, and I kind of agree with it to a point with Colin Kaepernick. But I don't know. Like Kaepernick, yeah, he did the commercials and stuff. Like, that's what any NFL player does that's, you know, has a bigger name.
And he went to a Super Bowl, so it's not like they just picked him off. Right. Like, he's just a random guy making a ruckus about, you know, all this. Like he was successful in the league.
Yeah.
Successful people get commercials. Baker Mayfield got commercials, and he's not successful. So, I mean, as long as you're a quarterback, usually you get commercials.
Right. And I don't get the point about seeing him outside. Like, Colin's doing his thing. Like,
yeah,
if he's in, you know, you don't have to make be public. You don't have to make yourself your life entirely public about what you're doing. Like,
right,
do your thing. You know, I think it should, you know, we don't know if he's reaching out to teams or if he's just sitting there and saying, "Well, come get me. I'm ready to go." Like,
yeah.
You can't wait for someone to approach you and, you know, bring an opportunity to you. You have to go search for it.
And I'm kind of curious because, like, AB is not on a team right now. So, like, I was wondering, did he reach out to Colin to, like, work out together? And Colin just told him no. Like, I don't want to work out with you or, like, something like that. And then AB just started, like, lost his mind and started talking crap about Colin. Because, you know, Tyler Lockett went and practiced with Colin.
Right.
I know that much. I know a lot of other wide receivers probably have. So it might be a personal thing, but that's just speculation. Just the fact that AB's not on a team kind of makes me think maybe he tried catching up with him and Colin's just like, nah, bro, I don't want to be associated with a nut job. So no thanks. And then he's just like, yeah, he says things like this. It's hard to know which side's true because AB's crazy and Colin hasn't come with a rebuttal yet. So now we're just waiting.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting, though. Just something to keep an eye on to see if Colin comes back and says anything. If he's smart and he knows what's best for him, he'll just leave it alone. You can't argue with a crazy man. You just can't.
You can't.
Speaking of crazy people, yeah, Earl Thomas has got, like, the FBI after him or something. Federal agents.
Oh, I saw something about that, yeah.
He sent threatening messages to his ex-wife, I think. Yeah. Or just a woman in general. And, like, his own kids or something.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really read into it too much because it just sounds like, you know, CTE acting up again. Richard Sherman already did this once to his own family. Now it's Earl Thomas's term. God, please, Cam Chancellor, please don't. I don't need every member of the Legion of Boom doing something crazy. Like, come on, bro. But it's funny because it's not funny. But apparently they found similar messages on Earl Thomas's brother's phone. And as we can all remember, Earl Thomas and his brother back in the day.
Yeah,
they were kind of doing stuff together. So I saw somebody after they found that the brother was also sending these messages. One of the comments on the post said, man, these guys do everything together. Like, oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Tell me about this fantasy football thing, because this is basically the last football thing. I got two other things I want to talk about quickly.
Yeah. So this guy in Kansas, him and his buddies are doing a football league, and the punishment for the loser was that they had to play a qualifying round for the U.S. Open, and it just happened to be at this country club in Kansas City, at Oakwood Country Club, in order to pay off the debt of paying off the punishment. And so obviously he was not meant to be out there. This guy's not very good at golf. I mean, it's about what I would shoot, but
I mean, on a professional course like Oakwood Country Club, yeah, I think most of us would probably have not done too well.
So but yeah, so he played at Oakwood Country Club in Kansas City, Missouri, on Monday, and he shot 40 over for a solid 112, which for you and I, it's solid, mostly solid day.
Oh yeah, I mean, if I shot a 112 at a Oakwood Country Club, I don't know how hard the course actually is, but if it's a U.S. Open qualifying course,
right,
I would be happy with 112.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember from the article. There was over 50 people playing, and this guy here was the worst record, was the worst score by only 4 strokes.
Oh wow. Okay.
And only 3 people broke 80.
Okay. Well, that's not terrible. I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah,
That he did really bad. But yeah, to only be that bad by someone else by what? You said 3-4 strokes?
4 strokes, yeah.
Shit. I'd be ecstatic. It's not great to come in last, but it's not like, you know, everyone else out there was shooting like 70s, 80s in their round. Right. You know? At least other people were close.
Yeah.
That's not as bad. I think he can hang his hat on that.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got to play on a cool course too, Oakwood Country Club. I mean, that's fun. I didn't know anybody could do that. Like, he literally just, what, he got to pay for it, though?
I would assume he probably had to register and play. you probably have to do the whole thing with like the USGA, you know, registering your handicap, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, that was, you know, one of the many things that people do for fantasy football.
Man, this is a good one. This is a good one. And I did see his scorecard.
Yeah.
I saw a post on Facebook. He had four pars.
He did. And so, a lot of snowmen.
Yeah, a lot of bad scores, but I, you know, to get four pars.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think I've ever had like four pars on a full course. That's, you know, that's good. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So good for that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't lose next year. Do that again. So I have to show everybody this. It is the 6-year anniversary of probably the most athletic and non-athletic thing to ever happen in Major League Baseball. 6 years ago, this occurred.
Looking for his first hit of the year. Oh. He drives one deep left field. That goes Upton back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened.
Like, think of how much time has passed. This man's still running from second to third. like we've been sitting here a while now. Like, okay, like, he's probably about to cross home. No, he's not even there.
The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trip.
He's winded. Like, he's got his head down right now. He's like, it's almost there.
His first career home run, and there will be nobody in the dugout to greet him. This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball. Bartolo Colon has gone deep.
I want to say that was one of the longest home run trots I've ever seen, but I think that's how fast he runs.
And now they'll flood up the tunnel and give him his just due. His 226th career at bat. The newest.
I mean. That without a doubt, I can't think of anything in baseball that's better than that moment.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
What was his regular position?
I don't know. I guess you don't know a lot about baseball. Okay.
No, I had a hunch he was on the Mets.
Yeah.
And isn't that where our buddy Matt gets his nickname from?
Yeah, Big Sexy. That's him.
Big Sexy.
Yeah, that's Big Sexy. Our friend Matt goes by Big Sexy. And, yeah, that's Mets former pitcher, Bartolo Colon. And, you know, he was a good pitcher, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was the greatest in history or nothing, but he was a solid pitcher. Just a big guy. He always had the funniest pitch. I would show it. Like, he just would throw the pitch and then swing his back leg around and, like, square up to the plate like a sumo wrestler. Like, that's how he pitched. It was awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah, he was just always the happiest guy, smiling like all the time. One of the greatest people in baseball ever. I hope he gets to the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he was ever good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not
sure. That home run right there should get him in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, that's it. That's it right there. Put him in. Just start making the mold now.
Sign, seal, deliver. Let's go.
But that baseball should be in the Hall of Fame at the very least. And last but not least, I don't know how much this matters to, you know, a lot of people, but to me, the iPod has been officially discontinued. Like, that's a thing like that happened today. I don't even know if they were still making iPods. I don't think they were, but today someone somewhere was like, are we still technically making them? Someone was like, I think so. Like, yes, let's stop doing that. I think we're good on iPods. So, rest in peace to iPod.
Wow.
Sad day.
It is a sad day.
What was your first iPod ever?
I only had one. I had an iPod Touch.
Ooh, a Touch. Okay.
Yeah. Before that, I had a Zune from Microsoft.
Oh.
I did the off-brand thing and said, not today, Apple. But here I sit next to it. Here I sit next to an iPhone, and I'm doing it on my Mac. So
yeah,
we see where that went.
They caught up to you.
And I think before the Zoom, I had a little RCA MP3 player, something like that. So,
oh. Woof.
Yeah.
Are you old enough to ever have a Walkman? Did you have the Walkman era?
I
was not old enough for a Walkman.
Like the portable CD player?
I think Walkmans were like cassettes, I think. I'm not even sure. Like
I think I did have a portable cassette player, and then I had the portable CD player. I didn't technically have the Walkman from Sony.
Oh yeah, Sony Walkman. Yeah, it was a cassette player.
But I do remember having like a portable cassette player.
Yeah, I used to listen to cassettes when I was a kid, but like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like a toddler. My first portable device was a CD player.
Yep.
Like you're on the bus listening to a CD player on your CD player, and then you hit a bump and it skips like 30 seconds of the song.
Damn, I gotta start over again.
Yeah, that was the best part. The beat was about to drop. And then I had, it might have been a Zune. I have no idea what it was, but I used to have a battery powered, some kind of battery powered MP3 player.
Yeah.
I have no idea what brand it was, though. I could not. And like, I was still using batteries, and everyone was like, dude, why are you using a battery powered thing? Get like this thing that charges. And I was like, that's stupid. Like, if a battery, I can just change the battery whenever. If you have to charge it, you have to like sit there and charge it. That's stupid. Yeah, look where we are now. But then I got my first iPod was the iPod Shuffle. No screen, just a button.
Just the buttons, yep.
Just going through songs. And my brother had the Touch. Yeah. And he handed that down to me when he upgraded. So that was my second one. And then kind of just kept going from there.
There you go.
But the iPod is dead. A little walk down memory lane there. Really quick, an update with the USFL. For those who care, the Birmingham Stallions are undefeated. 4-0.
Nice. Where did them go?
They just added Bo Scarborough, former Alabama running back and Seahawk running back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's just a massive guy. Mm-hmm. Like this dude just got like boulders for muscles. Like I don't have a picture of him right now, but you look up Bo Scarborough, this dude is big.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now a Stallion. This is the South Division. So the Birmingham Stallions lead at 4-0. Then you got the New Orleans Breakers 3-1 after they did in fact beat your Houston Gamblers on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Tampa Bay Bandits sit at 2-2, and then the Gamblers are 1-3. So you got like every record, 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, 1-3. They just don't have an 0-4. Don't worry, we'll get to that. For the North Division, we have the New Jersey Generals leading the division at 3-1. Then you got the Philadelphia Stars at 2-2. But I think you might have like an MVP candidate on the Stars, though. Ryan Scott is so good. The team itself is not well-rounded, but he is doing his best.
Oh, yeah.
The Michigan Panthers at 1-3, the team I thought that was going to be where the Stallions are. Panthers suck. Mm-hmm. But the team that sucks the most.
There has to be one.
Goddamn Pittsburgh Maulers at 0-4. And, like, these really even haven't even been close games.
No.
Like, they are just bad. It's just depressing. Like, of course, the team I pick. This is what you get for picking your team based off a jersey color. This is what you get, dummy. But our teams play each other this week. The Gamblers will be playing the Maulers. So the battle of last place in each division, they'll be going.
There you go.
So if the Maulers win, they'll both be 1-4.
Oh, boy.
Should we, like, make a bet to see which team will come in last? If your team comes in last year, you know, the Gamblers or the Maulers? Probably not. It's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Let's not start betting on USFL stuff. That's not going to pan out. The Pittsburgh Maulers are the Cincinnati Reds of the USFL.
God, oh, geez.
They're so bad. Well, at least the Reds have won a game, to be fair. All right, so what do you want to do first? Do you want to do these playoff predictions that I found, or do you want to do some schedule stuff?
Let's do playoff stuff first.
So I was just scrolling along, naturally, as one does, and I saw CBS Sports playoff predictions. I don't know who over there does this stuff. Oh, the Vinny Papale story. Yeah, I forgot about that. He plays for Tampa Bay. The kid of the Papale that, you know, did the whole Invincible story with the Eagles, the movie.
Okay. Vince
Papale. That whole movie about him, for those who don't know, that really happened. But his kid, Vinny Papale, he plays for the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Oh, nice.
I forgot about that. Yeah, but thanks for reminding me there, Ma. Yeah, kind of nifty. You know, I got to count on my mom to make sure our content stays on track here. I don't forget anything. To bring her on as like a manager.
There you go.
Make sure we don't forget anything. So, you know, he might not be in the NFL, but maybe this is where his story begins in the USFL. I had to look up it. I'll look up his stats later. Maybe for next week. But CBS came out with their playoff predictions. God only knows where this consensus came from. I don't know who's made this, but with the AFC, and I don't think they did seeding. They just said, you know, who's going to win the division.
Right.
So we have the Bills winning the AFC East. Then the Bengals are going to be coming out of the North. The Colts will come out of the South. And the Chiefs are coming out of the West. Then you have the Broncos, Chargers, and Ravens as your wild card teams.
All right.
So, obviously, what are your concerns here? Because I have a few for the AFC.
Let's see. I have no problem with the Bills and the Bengals taking the East and the North.
Yeah.
The South? A little surprising one for the Colts. I would think the Titans would still own that.
They still have most of their pieces. They lost AJ, which...
I mean, their offensive line was pretty bad.
I just don't know if the Matt Ryan is going to be your answer to get you to win the division, though.
Right. I would still think the Titans are going to figure something out. Because I don't think it'd be the Jags or the Texans.
I want to be on the Texans wagon, but yeah, I don't think that's it.
But Broncos, Chargers, Ravens. I think the Broncos or the Chargers could possibly take the division over the Chiefs, because that division is just going to destroy each other. And then it's like, what do you do with the Raiders?
Right, like, they're still good.
Right,
you got plenty of pieces.
Like, you could swap the Raiders with the Chiefs and put the Chiefs and the. I mean, I would say Chiefs Broncos in the wild card teams, and the Chargers miss out.
You think the Chargers are the ones that miss out?
I think there's a possibility that they could miss out, and then I don't 100% agree with the Ravens as the third team. I would think it's a Ravens, Patriots, Browns. Kind of in a Colt battle for that last spot.
Okay. I could see how the Patriots sneak in there. Sleeping on the Dolphins, maybe?
Probably.
I mean, they got a pretty well-built team over there. I mean, the AFC is just stupid stacked, bro.
Yep.
Like even the Jets. I mean, that's a stretch. I know talking about the Jets doing anything successful just sounds weird.
Right.
You know, second year with Robert Saleh, they had an outstanding draft. Zach Wilson's next year, you know. Developmentally, this is, you know, on paper, it's not a terrible team. I mean, they could surprise someone and make, like, be fighting at least for that seventh seed. Who knows?
It's a possibility.
The Browns have Deshaun Watson. They have virtually nothing else besides their running back. So I don't know about the Browns. Even with Watson, that's still, I feel like, a stretch. The Steelers, that's a likely dumpster fire location. Ravens, yeah. I don't know. I think my main concern off of their predictions comes out of the AFC West. Mm-hmm. Unless Sky Moore literally morphs into the next Tyreek Hill.
Right.
I just don't think they have enough firepower to keep up with the rest of the West right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the division winner... I'm going to throw up saying it. I think the Raiders are the division winners.
I'm confused as to why that makes you throw up.
It's just like... it's the Raiders, man. Like, that organization is just so weird right now with everything going on. They just fired their, like, president or something.
Right.
That team is constantly in turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Derek Carr is... And he's an anchor emotionally, like mentally stable. Derek Carr is an anchor. You get Davante Adams. You still have Darren Waller. You got Hunter Renfro still. You got Josh Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, I don't know. They did lose one of their edge rushers, Nassib, I believe they let go.
Yeah, they let him go. But they brought in Chandler Jones.
Right. I mean, I really think the Raiders come out on top, as weird as it sounds to say such a thing.
I mean, I think it's how stacked that division is. They're just going to beat up on each other.
Right. Like, who can last the longest with injuries?
Right.
I don't know about the Colts winning. I feel like that whole division is just so weak, and it could go either way. So I don't really have an opinion right now on the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do think three teams still get in through the AFC West. And yep. That seventh seed is literally anybody's because
right.
The AFC's just got so many teams, it's hard to narrow down to one.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the Bills, Bengals. Like, I guess the Colts, they're the most complete team, I think, out of that division. So I'll just leave the Colts there for now. Mm-hmm. And then the Raiders are my division winners. And then I'll shove the Chiefs. God, the Broncos are so filthy. Like the Chiefs, Chargers, and I don't even want to come up with a seventh team. Like it could literally be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave seven to be wild, like live the literal wild card seed. Could be anyone. Over in the NFC, this is kind of fun. They have the Eagles winning the division. I guess AJ Brown makes a big difference.
You never know.
And then the Vikings over Green Bay. I guess they finally decided the Packers have lost too many pieces and Aaron Rodgers won't be able to carry them for much longer. So we have the Vikings taking the division. That seems kind of sus to me, but I don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Buccaneers winning the South. That's fine. And then the Rams winning the West. That's completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
The East and the North question marks, and then you have the Packers in the wild card still. They're still there, and then you have the Saints and the Cardinals. The Saints and the Cardinals as your wild card teams, along with the Packers. See, this is like the complete opposite of the AFC.
Yeah,
this is kind of with the NFC wild card teams. It's kind of anyone can get in because everyone's so bad.
Yeah.
So there's your difference. So what's your main concerns with your predictions here?
Mine would be Eagles and Vikings for sure.
Yeah, I feel like
that's I think that gets swapped out with Cowboys and Packers.
Okay. Yeah. And I think Cowboys for a main reason that we'll get to in a second.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go on in here and say the Cardinals don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like this is like the year that the team completely breaks. Like you'll probably end up firing Cliff Kingsbury, probably trading Kyler Murray.
Right.
Like they're not going to pay him.
Yep.
Seems like the kind of year that just ends the team.
Right. Like I would say like it's if you move the division winners over, it's gonna be Eagles, Saints, Vikings in the wild card.
Okay, yeah. Kinda like that. That's solid.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense to me. Do you think the Lions have a chance?
I think they're gonna be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But I don't think they get mathematically eliminated
first
until like week 15.
You think they'll hang in there?
I think they'll hang. I think out of the NFC North, I think the Bears get eliminated first.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, the Bears just, it feels like the Bears every year just keep losing and never adding.
Yep.
They're just like, we have Justin Fields, we're going to be completely fine. Allen Robinson, Khalil Mack, yeah, we don't need them, that's fine. Oh, we lost. We got Justin Fields, we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to talk about the strength of schedule a little bit. I mean, I pretty much agree with what you said. I do think Cowboys, I think Packers probably do still pull it out because Aaron Rodgers is still the regular season MVP, dude. He's just that guy.
Yeah,
and then he'll choke in the playoffs. That's, you know, just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks, no problem. Rams, no problem. And then, yeah, Eagles, great. Vikings still seem sus, but I'm okay with it. And then, right. Yeah, the Saints. That all sounds fine to me because I don't see any other teams that are really like the Falcons, no, Panthers, no, Cardinals, no, 49ers, maybe, but it just seems like they got a lot going on right now.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at with that. I guess the main thing in the strength of schedule that I wanted to hit, because we'll end the show here soon, we won't get to the thing at the bottom of our notes. But the strength of schedule I definitely wanted to bring up because the reason I think probably we both think Dallas is going to be at the top of the NFC East is because they have the easiest strength of schedule. Not only do the Cowboys have the easiest strength of schedule, the Washington Commanders have the 31st easiest strength of schedule. The Philadelphia Eagles have the 30th easiest strength of schedule, and the Giants have the 29th easiest strength of schedule. All NFC East teams have the easiest schedule. You know why? Because they play each other, and they all suck.
Oh, that's perfect.
When is the last time something like that you've ever, like, I need to get some stats on if this one division were all had the easiest strength of schedule. That is one of the most embarrassing things I have ever seen. Because six of their games are against some of the worst teams in the league last year.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow. That's crazy. Who else is in here? The Lions have the next easiest.
Yeah.
28th. So that kind of gives them a little boost into being competitive next year.
Yeah.
If they really turn things around, they won't have the hardest schedule. What are other some good ones in here? The Colts and Titans both are generally down there with the easiest, 0.469 for the Colts, 0.471 for the Titans. So, they're generally that's not really going to matter,
right?
When it comes to who wins the division because they're playing virtually the same.
But the toughest though, holy cow!
Oh yeah, I mean that's always the funniest thing. Dallas is sitting at a 0.462, same as Washington. You go all the way to the front, the hardest strength of schedule, 0.567 win percentage for the Rams. I mean that's more than a full point. That's 0.05 harder.
Yeah, that's insane.
A big difference.
Yeah, I think I was reading an article somewhere and it said like the Rams opponents were, don't quote me on this, but they were like 161 and 125 last year.
I mean, just look at the next team down. I mean, the Cardinals,
yeah,
the team with the second hardest, the Cardinals, 0.543.
Mm-hmm.
That's a full 0.24 less. That's a pretty big leap.
Oh, yeah.
From first to second. And then that's still a pretty big leap from second to third down to the Bengals at 0.536. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these are just kind of like 1 through 4, 0.01 or 0.04 difference between them.
Right.
But like that, those are some big jumps. Especially for the Rams. Like, who are they playing this year? My God. They're playing every team that was in the playoffs last year.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oops.
I mean, they got to play the Bills.
There they go.
Plus, if they're playing the same common opponents as the Seahawks, they're going to play the AFC West and the NFC South.
Yeah, obviously they still have to play the Cardinals, 49ers, Seahawks. It goes without saying. I mean, their home opponents don't look that bad on paper. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have the Broncos and Raiders, who were two teams that you used to laugh at and you can't really laugh at anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that Broncos-Rams game, that's on Christmas, for those wondering.
Yeah.
And then they get the Cowboys, which are kind of middle of the road, and then they have the Panthers and Falcons, which are a joke. So they have two easy, two hard, one in the middle. But then I think their away games is where we get kind of funky. Their away games, they got to play the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Bucks, and the Saints forever for how good they may be this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, besides your division opponents, you have the Saints, Bucks, Packers, Chiefs, and Chargers. That is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks. The travel is, and like the travel is pretty bad too. I mean, that's three East Coast teams,
mm-hmm.
and then the Chiefs kind of in the middle, then the Chargers.
Right,
down bad for the Rams this season. So whatever that plays into with people's idea of who might be winning divisions, the Rams are still a pretty good team.
Oh yeah,
I think they can probably fight through this, but when it comes mm-hmm. to playoff time, it'll be how injured they are and just how tired they are in general from a very tough schedule. Like, this might impact their seeding. I think they'll still win the division, but they might be like a fourth seed. No, that's a lie, because the NFC East. But maybe third seed. And then last but not least, we'll go over real quick. The NFL schedule is going to come out this Thursday. On Moaz's birthday, that's my birthday present from the NFL, is the NFL giving me the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, we have a couple of leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Which always happens. So we have our international games. Obviously, we have a doubleheader in week two. We had to make sure to get this out. This is something that Durf added because he wanted everyone to know. We have the Titans playing the Bills in week two
mm-hmm.
on Monday night. And then we also have the Vikings and Eagles, but... Okay, sure. Cool. But the Titans and Bills, week two. That's in Buffalo, too, right?
In Buffalo. And I think it's a 7:15 kickoff.
You going?
I don't know.
Don't know yet?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
But cause that could be the home opener, too.
Could be.
Could be.
If they were smart, they would make that the home opener, because that's how you get a giant crowd for Monday Night Football.
Right, and we'll just say sometimes the crowds aren't the best on a Monday night in Buffalo.
Like, when you say best, like, there's not a lot of people there, or they're not on their best behavior?
Not on their best behavior.
Oh, okay. Dildos on the field?
That, or just trouble at the gates and stuff, and sometimes you just don't want to be there for that.
Fair enough, especially after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Week four is when we got our international game starting up. We got the Vikings and the Saints heading to London. Then week five, we have the Giants and the Packers. I don't see how that's competitive, but week eight, we have the Jags and Broncos.
I mean, the Giants and Packers could be competitive, you know, if Jordan Love's playing.
Do you think he is? Is that just like a general statement here, or like? Is Aaron Rodgers? Am I missing something? Did I miss something? Is Aaron Rodgers mad again?
I'm just saying it could happen.
They drafted him a wide receiver at least. That it wasn't in the first round because they didn't need a first round wide receiver because they got Sammy Watkins for him. But they still drafted one.
Instead, they traded up for a receiver that fell out of the first round.
Yeah,
and picked him up early in the second round. Yeah.
So I mean, technically, is he a first round draft pick? Because he was slotted.
He was probably first round grade, but.
Doesn't count.
No.
The Jags at Broncos in London. I think the Jags are still like a year or so removed from being competitive.
Right.
Although they have, you know, they have a new coach. They're drafting generally well. We'll see what happens. And then we have the Seahawks and the Bucks going to Germany for the first time ever, a game in Germany. And then week 11, we have the Cardinals and the 49ers in Mexico. I feel like the Cardinals are Mexico's home team. I feel like it's always the Cardinals going to Mexico. Am I right to think that? Because I think the Seahawks played the Cardinals in Mexico once there.
I thought the Chiefs had played down there before.
That's true. That is
true. I thought it was like Chiefs Chargers or something.
Was it Chiefs? Ooh, that was like that crazy game where Phillip Rivers threw like five interceptions. Yeah. True. So maybe I'm wrong. For some reason, I thought it was always the Cardinals, but okay, all right. And then we have the Broncos and the Rams on Christmas. That's going to be the Nickelodeon game.
That's CBS Nickelodeon, yeah. That is the first game of the triple header leaked.
Can I put a bet in to see who's going to be the MVP? Can I put that bet in now?
Can we just say Matthew Stafford?
I really want it to be Matthew Stafford. I'm manifesting that into reality all the way up until that game happens.
Yeah.
I need that to happen. And then we have that's all we really have for leagues. That's the important stuff. And then we have some questions here.
Yeah.
Who should get the most primetime games? Oh, boy. Let me ask you that question. Who do you think should get the most primetime games, Durf?
Well, I think I'm going to have to say the Bucks. No, just kidding. No. The Bills. Come on.
The Bills. Whoa, I didn't see that coming.
So I think the record is 6 right now for 6. I think that's the limit they allow for primetime games.
That's a lot.
I would take 5.
Okay.
I would take 4 or 5. I think that'd be amazing.
You probably would guess they're playing on Thanksgiving because they've done that, the last 2 years?
I did it last year, and then they did that 2 years before that. So it would have been 2019 season. So they didn't do it in 2020.
So they might get a Thanksgiving game because we've at least seen it.
Yeah.
We might get Christmas because I'm pretty sure they're doing three games on Christmas. Well, it's a full, a primetime game on Christmas. It's on a Sunday, dummy.
Right.
Talking to myself. So they might get one on Christmas primetime, and then we obviously already have the Monday night one.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's 3 right there potentially.
Uh-huh.
Just throw in 2 more in a 17-game schedule. I mean, I think they could easily reach 5. They're obviously America's. I think they're truly America's team right now, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
People are loving them.
Oh, yeah.
I would happen to agree just by the statement I just made. I think people actually all over the country, I think the Bills really have made quite the impression on the American people.
Yep.
So I think they do deserve a lot of love. And plus they kind of, you know, some little recourse from the NFL of screwing them in the playoffs. Like, here's like 5 primetime games. Have fun. and then who should the Rams play in the season opener?
Yeah.
Let's look at their schedule again.
So it'd be their home opponents. Rams. I already know who I think they should play, but
who they should. So you think you know who they should play?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. Go ahead and tell me, Derv. Who do you think they should?
No,
play?
Tell me who you think. Besides them,
if I had to take a guess, they're probably gonna play the. No, they're not gonna play the Bills because that first game's gonna be primetime.
Yep.
And they're not gonna give the Bills back-to-back primetime games to start the season. I don't think they would. My honest guess. Like, the Bills does seem likely if they didn't have a week 2 primetime game. I'm kind of stuck between, like, I feel like they would give it to the Cowboys just because it's the Cowboys, but the Raiders. The
Cowboys had it last year.
I think it'd be the Raiders.
That's been one that's been up there as, like, a top choice. So I think I've seen, I think Raiders and 49ers have been the top two besides the Bills.
That'd be bizarre to be a division matchup week one. Like, how often does that happen?
Well, I don't think it normally happens that often, but it could.
It could, yeah. It's not impossible, I guess.
Right.
I'm going to lock in Raiders.
All right. I like it.
And you're going to lock in Bills?
Yeah.
Back-to-back primetime games?
Yep.
Okay. It's not impossible to do that to start
think,
the season,
I think it makes sense because this was...
Why does it make sense? Why does it make sense?
Because it would be the unveiling of the banner for the Super Bowl champions, mm-hmm. for the Rams. Who left the Rams and went to Buffalo? Von Miller.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow.
Who was the Rams' most likely opponent in the Super Bowl besides the Bengals? The Bills.
Man, like the Von Miller thing just
It makes itself. Too much sense.
Like, I don't want to change my answer because I don't want it to be the Bills.
It probably won't be, and I'm just wishful thinking right now.
Right, but it makes sense, though. That would be.
It makes sense to be that.
Because then, like, Von Miller's there for the banner.
Right.
Like, that'd be kind of cool for the NFL to do.
Yeah.
Boy, oh, boy. I feel like it's 50-50 between the Raiders and Bills. That's where I'm going to sit. I'm going to go with 50-50.
All right.
That's pretty good, though. That is good. I would love to see that. And I believe that's the show. Mm-hmm. And then we can do some of these other things we were talking about once we have the actual schedule. That would make more sense to do that anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That was an awesome show. Talked about a lot. And we're going to have even more to talk about starting next week. We'll have the full schedules for every team, break down some of the better primetime matchups, and then start seeing where, you know, at least the Seahawks and Bills maybe next week, see where these teams are going to have some struggling stretches. Because I don't even think we didn't even mention the Seahawks have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th hardest schedule.
Yeah.
And the Bills have the
12th hardest.
Oh, yeah, they're tied.
Because they're tied. Yeah.
5.512, and the Seahawks are at 0.517. Mm-hmm. So they're evenly.
They're similar.
Pretty similar, yeah. So there you go. Mm-hmm. So make sure to tune in next week. And then I believe after next week, we're going to really start trying to round up some fans of these teams.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be doing some division breakdowns. Mm-hmm. That's going to be I love doing that every season, talking to some folks, seeing what the fans are thinking about their own teams. It's going to be a good time. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
This has been Durf and Dylan. And we'll see you next week.
On and off the field.